Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and yes, it is after dark, and I am joined by our good friend, Mr. Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, fantastic again. All right.
Yep. It's had a very productive couple of weeks, had a couple of big checks come in, and business is good.
That's good. I had a few weeks off, so.
A few weeks?
Yeah. I know last time we talked, I just went to Disney World for a week.
Yes, you did.
But that's not vacation. That's a trip.
Excuse me? Disney's not vacation?
No, it's a trip. It's a trip. It's because you go from 6 a.m. till 11 p.m. for a week. So I took another 2 weeks off. I just came back last week.
Wow. And what'd you do this time?
So a week at the beach and then just a week at my house doing chores and things that I never have time to do when I'm at work all the time.
Was it a honey-do list?
No, it was things that I needed to do, not that she wanted me to do.
Oh, okay.
Plus, I just wanted to take 2 weeks off. I like taking 2 weeks, you know, because you take a week, you can't really decompress. It takes that second week to really decompress.
I don't know about you, but I can decompress in one day.
I like to take the 2 weeks. 2 weeks works good.
I have, so our weekends, our vacations are a travel day, a decompression day, a fun day, a ready-to-travel day, and then a travel day. So 5 days is my max.
Yeah, that wouldn't even count as a trip for me. That's not even a trip.
Not even a trip. Why even go? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
It depends on where you go.
I guess. But so, to go somewhere for a day.
Well, no, it's 3 days.
Actually, decompress.
Yeah, so you decompress, you're there. For instance, my wife likes to sit on the beach. And that could be a whole day for her. I can't sit on the beach for a day. So I get to rest. So I can either stay in the hotel, I can watch TV, I can lounge, I can go meet a friend, and then I come and spend sunset with her on the beach. And then the next day, we can get in the car, go see things, do events, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, my wife likes to sit on the beach every day for a week. Mm.
See, we can do that here.
Yeah, I can't do that where I am. She would actually choose to do 2 weeks, which we'll probably do next summer, but it'll be in Grand Cayman or Hawaii.
Next year?
Yes. I'm hoping Grand Cayman. I love Grand Cayman.
When will you know?
So, have you heard about the proposed tourism bill that they heard floating around a few weeks ago?
I don't pay attention to that anymore.
I don't either, and I don't know how true it is, but I saw that there was some bill floating around that they were trying to promote tourism for next year. And any kind of tourism you went on, travel, anything related to travel. So if I went to – and I'm guessing it's only for travel inside the U.S. since they're promoting U.S. economy and tourism.
I was going to say, they would be promoting it for people to come to America, right?
Oh, no, just to travel. Just to travel for you to spend money.
So it's an airline thing, just travel, get on the plane.
Well, no, this is the government doing it. That the government would reimburse up to $4,000, up to 50% of your travel expenses. That's hotel, food, everything related to travel and tourism. So if you spend $8,000, they pay you back for up to $4,000. So if that happens, I'll probably go to Hawaii.
Okay, that just seems so retarded.
Well, you can say that to everything that's been happening the past few months.
Can't say it to everything, but you can say it to most.
A lot of it. So if that is true and if it passes, I don't think a trip to Grand Cayman would qualify, but I think a trip to Hawaii would. So it really depends on what happens.
So here's what it is. A new GOP bill would give each taxpayer $4,000 to take a vacation anywhere in the U.S. through the end of 2021.
Yeah, that's what I saw. So if that passes and it's true, I'll do 2 weeks in Hawaii. If it doesn't pass, I'll go to Grand Cayman, which is my original plan anyway. So, but 2 weeks in Hawaii is not as relaxing as 2 weeks in Grand Cayman. Because in Hawaii, there's things to do. I lived there for 3 years. Right. There's things I want to do again. I'm not going to be sitting on the beach every day. In Grand Cayman, you'd sit on the beach, maybe go snorkeling, maybe go hang out with the stingrays. But Hawaii is going to be more going than Grand Cayman.
All right. Well, I won't be doing either of those, so enjoy yourself.
Well, you got to take advantage of that. If they pass that, you got to take advantage of it. You are going to travel because you have to have your made up. Since you missed the family reunion, that's got to be replanned.
Okay, but that's true. Oh, you know what? That's a good point. I can get the government to give me a $4,000 tax credit for my reunion.
But the benefit of that is you don't have to have it in Louisiana, because if other people travel as well, they can get reimbursed too.
You don't know my family. That's too much work.
That's
too much work, and I'm not playing travel coordinator for all of them.
You just tell them to get there.
No. No.
So we'll see. I do like my 2 weeks. I definitely take 1 2-week vacation, then usually another 1 week, and then some time here and time there.
Okay.
Over the year. Benefit of not being a solo tech.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. That hurts, man.
It does hurt, but it's the truth. Because you know what? For those 2 weeks, I didn't, for the most part, I didn't even watch TV. I didn't get online. I didn't do anything. Nothing tech related. Nothing.
I can do that if I want.
Don't think your clients would be happy about that.
Sure. You tell them ahead of time. You plan everything ahead of time. I used to do that when I would take a week off. I would tell them, look, I'm gone. I have an emergency contact. Here's the number if you need it. Just know that there's going to be a big bill waiting for you. So if it can wait, let it wait.
That's good.
So, yeah, you just got to train them.
It's like training monkeys sometimes. Some monkeys listen, some monkeys don't. And then the first day you're gone on a week vacation, Microsoft screws up and crashes Outlook for everybody.
Yes, of course.
So that was fun today, right?
I had to work on that. I had a customer who was in Texas that I was working on remotely, did not know that the issue was going on. And she, as soon as I get connected, she's like, oh, by the way, my Outlook hasn't worked this morning.
And did you know what the problem was? The first ticket you got like this?
That was the first one I got like it. So I found out in the course of doing that, because while I was on the remote session, I received an email from App River, because I'm on their status reports, and they actually reported the error to all the App River clients. And then, of course, I did more research and saw that it was the Microsoft update. So then, you know, I'm searching, you know, her computer to find out what updates were installed. And of course, on her computer, nothing had been installed. The last update was from a week ago. So we're running through all these other things. But miraculously, She was running both Office 365 and Office 2016 Home and Business. So we uninstalled the Home and Business, just did a repair on the 365, and it worked.
What time was that it worked?
So my time would have been, as I go into my call history, because I am at the office, it was 12. Actually, I got on the phone with her at 1:26, so between 1:26 and 3:26 p.m. Eastern time.
So that might have been around the time where they started rolling the fix out.
Okay.
Because, so what happens for me, I get one ticket that's happening. Okay. And then 30 seconds later, another ticket, same thing. I'm like, okay, something's going on. That's not a coincidence.
Right.
So I go search the forums and go look on admin portal, and I see it right away, service degradation. I'm like, okay, they're working on it. So here's the thing. You have a few ways to handle this, right? And I'm curious, it sounds like you did a bunch of stuff. You want to know my way to handle this?
It's been reported that they're working on it, so I'll let you know when they send me an update. Is that what you do?
Close. I don't do the second part.
You don't let them know?
No. Because don't forget, I'm not going to call back 3,000 people.
You know what's funny, though, is I, out of all my clients, and I've got, I mean, only the one had that issue. Nobody else reported it unless
they didn't report it.
They didn't report it.
Because I talked to quite a few people. They called in for something else, like their printer or whatever. And then they say, oh, and by the way, Outlook keeps closing. So I talked to quite a few people. So I had a standard response. It's a known issue. They're working on it. You can use your mobile device or, you know, the portal. I gave them the link.
Right.
You can do all these. They're working on it. They have no estimate. I gave them whatever information I had. Either they were investigating it, as the early notice said, or they were identified a fix and rolling out. So I gave them. I copied and pasted so many times.
Right. Right.
But yeah, and I was on the phone with somebody for something else, and he mentioned it. And it was about that same time you just gave me. He said, oh, my Outlook started working again. Great. So, and then I go look in the portal, and it said they were rolling out the fix, but it could take a few hours for it to reach everybody. So I didn't do any of that. I'm like, look, they're working on it. I'm not, because we had so many calls with this. There's no way I can get to them all. I said, if they identify some step that I have to do, then we'll start doing it. But I'm not doing that.
It was odd, because I do remember when I was back on the Facebook later, I saw, you know, one of the groups. I mean, there was a couple hundred messages in there, and people were going berserk. And I'm like, folks, just tell your customers it's an issue. They can get their mail on the phone or their tablet or the web. I mean, it was frustrating, yes, and unless you've got a line of business application that integrates with Outlook that you have to have the desktop version, you know, I guess, you know, that would be the only real major issue if you could respond to email in any other way. But it was funny because I didn't even know there was an issue until I went to go work on this one person's computer. And the only reason I was working on it is because we did a migration of their email from some unknown mail client and GoDaddy to Network Solutions and Office 365.
Yeah. So I thought it was – yeah, so I opened Facebook, and because I want to go to one of the groups to see what they're saying. I've already seen what the issue is, but I'm wondering if there was some fix that somebody found.
Right.
So I get on Facebook, and it's just post after post after post. Has anyone seen this? The next post, has anyone seen this? Like, don't y'all know how to look and see what's already posted? Because there was so many posts. Has anyone seen this? Has anyone seen this?
Right. And I notice this all the time where somebody will post, hey, identified this issue. And then like 5 minutes later, well, is there a fix for it? Or 10 minutes later, somebody else is posting, and you're right, there's 100 people posting, have you seen this issue? And what's, I mean, I get it. People are on Facebook all day long, but I got my notification from App River.
Yeah, and I got it through, I would have got it through email from 365 had I turned on messages, but I turned off all those messages. I don't want to see them. So, but I go look in the portal.
Yeah, if you look in the portal.
The message, yeah, I go look in the service health. So, but if I didn't turn off all the messaging, I would have got an email.
Right.
I just go look in the portal.
Yeah, I group those together. Those are in a folder waiting for me to look at. I just assume that they're in there because once I got the ones from App River, and anytime there's an issue, you know, there's always those status pages. It's funny. I go to the status pages first. I don't go to Facebook first.
Yeah, I went to the status page first. I went to Facebook to see if somebody identified any kind of quick fix. And there was some people that had fixes.
There were about three or four, yes. That
I tried it on one person just to test, and it didn't work for me. Right. So I was like, that's the extent of my troubleshooting. I'm letting Microsoft do it. So
yeah.
But I didn't waste much time with it. I phrase my thing and copy paste, sends in.
Yeah, I do what you do, where I've had the one time where somebody, there was an issue for, what, almost a day? And all I did was forward, copy and pasted sections of the email to me. And usually it's the main contact for the firm or client. And I just forward to them, and they just love the fact that I'm staying on top of it.
Yeah, a lot of my clients don't communicate well. So if I email the main contact, the only person who might know is the main contact if they bother to read my mail.
Do your end users at those clients call you directly, or do they have to go through the main contact?
So they're supposed to go to the main contact, but they don't. I mean, some do. Some go to the main contact, and some don't. And you tell them, hey, don't forget, the main contact knew about this. Oh, I just thought it'd be easier to email you. Yes, that's what all 100 of you over there say, too. So,
and you know that this is a billable call.
Well, if I just copy and paste my response, because they don't call. A lot of them email.
Right.
Now, if they call, I just tell my receptionist, tell them it's a known issue. Tell them this. So when they call, don't even make a ticket. Just tell them this. Tell them there's no fix. Tell them just to use this. So she took care of the ones on the phone calls, and I just standard response by email to people who sent in an email for a ticket.
Mm. All right. So that was a fun day for you. So listen, we haven't spoken since before the COVID, before that's Rona. Right. So my first question to you is, are you able to tell us where you traveled to on a vacation when most of the country is still in some sort of quarantine?
Orange Beach, Alabama.
Okay. Probably no masks anywhere in sight there, are there?
On the beach, no. We went on the shopping day where the girls like to go shopping. Some stores made you wear a mask. Normally I just sit in the car. I don't even go in the shops. So
for how long?
Oh, on shopping day, I sit in the car almost the whole day.
Get out.
I drive them around to where they want to go, and I sit in the car. I listen to podcasts that day.
Do you listen to any good ones? Because I know you don't listen to this one.
I do. I do listen to this one. I do. I did listen to some. You know what? I did listen to some. And I know for a fact I listened to Couples Night.
Oh.
I forget which ones. I know I listened to some.
Okay.
But I did. On one of those, you talked about Bradley Gross. And then I found his, and I downloaded and listened to all of his.
Oh, okay.
In the car that day. But I don't listen to a lot of tech podcasts. I listen to a couple of tech podcasts. I did listen to some of yours and Bradley Gross.
All right. What'd you think of his?
Bradley Gross, his stuff is
the technology Bradcast.
Yeah, I like that. His stuff is awesome. I definitely would recommend people listening to that. Right. So yeah, the whole day is in the car. The only thing different over there, you couldn't eat. We don't eat out at the beach. We usually cook, but on the way up there and the way back, you had to eat outside. So sometimes we had to eat outside or even in the car, because if you're driving through at Chick-fil-A or Cane's, those two places are unbelievably long lines, but you got to eat in the car. So that's the only really difference that we noticed. The grocery stores were all fine. The beaches were fine. Oh, and it's pretty funny because my younger daughter had like a cold.
Yeah.
And so she was in one of the in the store, and she sneezed.
Oh,
boy! They looked at her like she's the Grim Reaper or something. I mean, people were looking at her funny, but you could tell she got a cold. She got her nose is all red, and
so lucky you guys weren't in Florida.
So, and then the girl who ran the little shop is like, she goes, "Oh, do you want some Kleenex?" And she gave her a box of Kleenex. She says, "Here, you can have the whole box." So there was nobody in the store but like one or two customers. Oh. But that store didn't require a mask. And Josie said, "I promise it's just a cold." I wasn't in the store. I was in the car. She told me about it when she came back in. But yeah. But now over here in Louisiana, they passed a mask mandate. A few days ago, starting Monday. Yeah, days ago.
So is it the one where it's inside only or even outside?
Outside if you're not able to social distance. Right. So if you're outside and can social distance, you don't need one. But anywhere inside, you also have to have one.
All right. I think it's going to be bad down here in Florida because we already were back at the mandate of mask everywhere inside and outside if you didn't social distance. But now I think it's going to be even if you step outside, you need to have a mask.
But see, I don't get that. My wife asked me, I want to go walk the dog. Do I need to wear a mask? I'm like, no, you're not within 6 feet of someone from a different household. There's no even human in sight. Why would you need a mask? So I don't get that. But
Because you probably social distance up here. Down here in Florida, we can't do that for some odd reason. And, you know, we keep breaking records. So we had another record day yesterday. We had the most deaths during Rona yesterday.
So even with the mask mandate, the Florida numbers are still going up.
So I think here's part of the problem is I think some of these are cases that are now into their second week. Because the mask mandate didn't really start until last week. Okay. So some of these could be cases that were already started. And there's a big debate about some of these numbers are being reported late. So these could be numbers from a month ago that are just getting into the system.
Do you know anyone personally that has it?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
I just a friend of mine, him and his whole family got it. The girlfriend got it first. They lived together. Then he got it. Then the kids got it. But it's the only one I know personally that has it.
Yeah. So, and I should probably clarify, it's not a personal friend or a family member. It is. Oh, speaking of, we have a story to tell. So it is a client who shouldn't be a client anymore that has it.
Okay.
So right before we went into Rona season, that client I told you about that surprised me with their compliance request that they had to have by April 1st.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's that client. Who, see, oh, you've missed so much. So last week, they call me, or was it the week before? Whatever day it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago on a Monday, they called to say they have a new IT company, and they needed me to give them all of the passwords and network information. And I said, sure, no problem.
So real quick,
uh-huh.
The broadcast talked about the
offboarding.
Yeah, yes. Okay, go ahead.
And so I was ready to send them everything. You know, we have IT glue. So all I do is, you know, the run book with all the passwords. And actually in there I've got, you know, any equipment information, IP address statics and router, firewall, all that stuff. And she said, well, no, they're going to call you. I said, okay. Never got a call. And I just basically started unrolling whatever stuff I had. We didn't have much because they weren't under contract. So I took off all of the – I was using my backup remote access for them and not my SolarWinds RMM. So I took everything off except for remote access to the server because I wanted to be able to, you know, be able to get in. If they needed anything, I can just connect. And nothing ever happened. And so this past Monday, she calls and she's telling me this is the paralegal slash office manager. And she's saying, well, we're trying to install something with PDF and it keeps asking for the admin password. And I said, so what about your new IT company? Oh, well, the tech that was doing everything got coronavirus, so we wouldn't let him do anything. And I said, well, they have other techs. Did you? She goes, well, we didn't want any of them to do anything. I said, so they haven't started with you? She said, no. And I said, but they can connect remotely and help you, right? And she goes, well, I guess they can. So I said, here's your master password. Call them, give them that, and let them help you.
Yeah.
So that was that.
So, and that was how long ago that this conversation was?
That was this past Monday.
Okay. All right. So just a few days ago.
Yes.
So they still may call you again.
They still might.
They may have just used that password to install.
Which at this point, once they inform me that they have another IT company, we're done. They're not on any contract anyway.
Yeah.
And she was really trying to get me to help her. And I said, listen, you realize I'm going to have to bill you. So wouldn't you rather be billed under the new company?
Yeah, and since you're no longer a customer, you have to be a new customer and have a new rate.
You'll be at the starting rate.
So with all this, I guess, second wave stuff, are you getting any more calls of people who want to do more remote, or they forgot how to work remote because maybe they were remote, they went back to the office, and now they forgot how to remote in?
I had one call Monday morning where somebody was working from home and couldn't get in. But by the time I got ready to call them back, they had already sent another message and said, oh, I figured it out. We're good. And that was just one user. But everybody else, most of my clients haven't returned full time. So most of them are still either working remotely completely or in shifts.
Okay. Yeah, see. Around here, a lot of people went back to work. A lot of people. Because they didn't open everything up, but people just went. Because we don't hear a lot about it. And I said the first people I even knew that got it was just this past weekend.
Right.
And it's been going on since end of March. And no one I know since beginning of March had it. Or even heard of a friend of a friend, somebody at this office, you know, nobody. Hmm. So it's down here. It seems like it's not even a thing because no one knows. And I've asked other friends that I talk to every day or every week, and they've asked me the same thing. Do you know anybody that has it? And up until this weekend, I said no. And even the people I've talked to said they don't know anybody who's had it either. So what I saw on this past weekend, we were hanging out with them Saturday night, and he asked me, "Ian, do you know anybody?" I'm like, "Yeah, actually, today I know somebody. It's the first day." So
it's funny because down here, I mean, so one of the things I do in the morning when I get in is I pop into the YouTube channel of my local radio show because they have crazy Florida man stuff that happens every morning. And half the chat, there's like 500 people in the chat. And I don't know, I'd say probably like half the people that are actually participating, which would be probably, I'd say, between 20 and 30 people have said they either know somebody. One of them's a nurse and basically tells stories every morning. And so it's a big deal down here.
Yeah, we all are setting records.
We are setting records.
And y'all were not letting people from Louisiana go to your state. In April or May?
We weren't letting anybody in.
I'm like, you know what? Y'all can't come to Louisiana now. How about that? We need to put up a checkpoint
and say, no,
turn it around.
Actually, somebody sent me a story of a Florida couple in Canada that didn't self-quarantine for the 14 days. And I think they're getting fined. I was going to say deported, but that's probably not right. But it was an elderly couple. It was like 68 and 70. And I said, look, they're old. They probably forgot.
Yeah, that's what they can say. So they went to Canada.
Yes.
And when you get there, you're supposed to quarantine for 14 days.
Yep.
Kind of like Hawaii, because Hawaii, if you go there, you're supposed to quarantine for 14 days. Which, what kind of vacation are you going on if you can afford to quarantine for 14 days and then do stuff? That's the vacation I want to go on, where I can afford to spend 2 weeks just doing nothing and then take a vacation.
Right. Did you hear that?
And they extended their quarantine for visitors till September.
September?
Yeah. Hawaii did.
Let's see. So it says, this post appears to relate to a province territory in Canada. Oh. So a couple from Florida has been charged in Northern Ontario after failing to self-isolate for the mandatory 14 days upon entering Canada.
Wow.
So they went through the border on July 3rd. 6 days later, North Bay, OPP's North Bay, so that must be where they're at, received a call from the Public Health Agency of Canada, which requested that the officers complete a compliance check under the country's Quarantine Act. And as a result of the investigation, officers discovered that the couple wasn't compliant with a mandatory self-isolation order. A 68-year-old and a 70-year-old from Florida were subsequently charged with failing to comply with an order and fined $1,000. They were also each issued a provincial offense notice, which I don't know what that means. It just reminds me of some British, "You offend me, sir. Here's your notice."
Yes, it's an official notice. Yeah, they got a wear around their neck, probably.
You are an offense.
Well, I just wonder how long all this stuff's going to last.
As long as we have stupid people in the world.
So forever?
No, I shouldn't be too much longer.
So, yeah. So were you going to go to the
TechCon Unplugged?
Yeah, is that what they call it? Okay, were you going to go this year?
It reminds me. I got to cancel my room. So, yes, I booked a room, and I was just waiting to figure out flight. But I had not purchased my ticket.
Okay. Yeah, see, I was going to go, but I knew that it was going to be canceled, so I didn't bother.
I suspected, but I think Jeff and Paco were trying to hold out as long as they could. Because my thought should have, you know, listen, and who am I, right? My thought was, look, just cancel it. Everybody's freaking out as it is. This was actually, I think May is when I was thinking things probably will get canceled for the rest of the year. At that point, that's kind of where my thoughts were.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be canceled, so I didn't bother. I was going to go. I'm still disappointed that it's always in September now, but right. I like it more in August.
But they did find you a new donut place.
I saw that. I will be there. But now that means I have to go to the new place and the other one because the other one was really good. So now I got to get donuts twice.
Did you talk to them or send them a message and find out how far away it was from the hotel?
No, but because the other place was pretty far.
It was, I say, it was an Uber ride, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Dubinsky ride.
A Dubinsky ride. It was a Doobie ride, not a Uber ride.
Between John and Paco, they were kind enough to drive us over there. So they brought a group of us over there.
All right.
But had they not done that, I would have Ubered because to me it's just mandatory. I wasn't going to ask them to bring me, and I didn't ask. They offered. Because I don't like to impose on people, I just would have Ubered.
All right.
But once word got out there was a donut run, it just.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Just like in Chicago, you know, we went to Fire Cakes, and before I knew it, there was like, how many people did you go to Fire Cakes?
I think I had a previously scheduled.
That's right. Yeah, right there.
Adventure.
It was quite a few people that showed up, which is good. I'm glad people came. I like that. And they got to experience good donuts, which for me is highlight of any trip.
Big deal. Big deal.
I like my donuts and my bourbon.
Better have my donuts. Planes, trains, automobiles.
So, as far as tech work, anything interesting going on?
So for a long time, everything was status quo, just doing the regular stuff. I did just finish a Windows 10 upgrade this past weekend. We upgraded 16 computers. Five of them were straight upgrades to Windows 10. 11 of them were Windows computer replacements. So 11 new computers and file and settings transfers. Had my nephew help me for the first time, so that was good to get him some experience. I have another proposal that got partially approved this morning that will be, let's see, I think it's 17 out of 24 replacements and 2 straight upgrades. And the doctor is questioning the amount it will cost to actually do the setup.
Is this a flat rate thing, or you give them an estimate?
So I give them an estimate, but because it's a project and they are under management, I give them basically a project cost. So what it is, and they don't listen. So it's $395 per station, and then I give them a 30% discount.
$395?
Yes.
Per workstation. And that covers?
That covers
setup for that computer.
Yes, that covers everything, the prep, setup, installation, file transfer, and aftercare.
Aftercare for how long?
Basically the Monday after a project.
Not a month later. No. Oh, I forgot. I need this installed.
No, it's that first Monday where I slot aside half the day to be available for call specifically for that reason.
Monday care.
Yes.
Yeah, see, we're really behind I still have projects from like December or January. They're ordered servers and we haven't had time. So right now I know we've got three big email migrations. We've got three or four or five big server migrations. One new setup. They're splitting from another company, so they got to get all their own setup, and then they got to split data off from that company and put it. It's just now one of them is interesting because they've got a server in one location, and this was their original location. So when this company first started, they had one location,
right?
And they had the workstations there. Then they opened up another office an hour away. So those people, they just have a couple of workstations, but they had QuickBooks. So, okay, so you want to access QuickBooks. They didn't want a remote desktop server. They had spare computers at the original office. Fine. You'll just remote into those to run your QuickBooks. So two of them remote into computers, their own computer, basically dedicated for them. They remote into that.
Okay.
Then they wanted to move the server from the old location to the new location. So it never happened because we told them what was going to be involved. Plus, our server is really old.
Right. Would it survive the move?
I don't even know. So then they got a new server. And that's what's been sitting in my waiting to be prepped for months and months and months. But the new server is going to the new location. So we have to put the new server in, new domain, and the people at one location have to take that old server, and there's too much data to copy over the internet. Anyway, we're going to flop. So there's two people at the original location that need QuickBooks. Well, I'm going to have to take those two computers and move them to the new location, and now they're going to remote into those computers to run QuickBooks instead of the other way around. It's the whole thing's going to be flip-flopped. So that's in order to coordinate that, I've got to have one person go to the original location, one to the new location, make all the changes, and then bring the server back to the new location, the old server, to the new server location so I can transfer data. That's going to be a coordination.
So let me ask this, because I probably would have – and it may not be able to be done, but I would have proposed that they keep the old server at the old location, put a new server in the new location, and run DFS.
Their old server is so old, it should have been replaced 5 years ago.
And then sell them two servers.
They don't want two servers. They barely want one server. But they're very patient. They're very patient. She just emails me once in a while, "Hey, what's the update?" And so today she emailed me, "What's the update?" I said, "I'm hoping the first week of August." She said, "Okay, if anything changes, let me know." I mean, they're very nice. They're very, nothing's down.
Right.
But they bought the server 6 months ago or more, and it's just been sitting there.
And they prepay for their equipment, right?
Yes. Okay. Yep. So that's just one project, but that's really, once I get it set up, it's just going to be one day. They know they're going to have a one down day. One down day to do all those changes. I'm just going to coordinate one tech here. I'll do remote stuff. That's one. So it's a lot of projects, but some of them, if we do them right, can be done on site in one day. You know, I got a whole, this company has five servers, and they want to replace them all. Nice. So that's – yeah.
What kind of servers?
I mean, what are they currently running?
Yeah. I mean, are we talking a DC, a file server, a domain, Exchange server, SQL?
Yeah. Well, it's one small business a server. So they got a small business server hosting email. So we'll do an email migration to 365. Then they got some line of business servers. three of them run different line of business apps. One of them is a file server, an extra file server. Yeah, so a domain controller, exchange server, another file server, and the other three are line of business application servers. And it's funny because one of them, and I need to tell them when they quote this, one of them required three physical servers because we told them even back then, we said, let's just do one server and we'll just do Hyper-V servers. We don't need three physical servers. Right. And they said, no, our software doesn't support Hyper-V. It's got to be physical servers.
Okay, because I was going to ask that.
So I need to – we're getting a quote ready for her, but I just remember that. That's why they have five servers. I need to ask them if they updated their software to be able to support Hyper-V or if I have to do separate servers again, which I don't understand. I think they said they don't support Hyper-V because they didn't understand what it was. Maybe now they understand what it is.
Is it a law firm?
No.
Okay. Because I have that all the time, that we have, you know, servers running and they just – they know what Hyper-V is, and they actually what they'll do is they say, you can do it, but we won't support it.
Right, and we're not going to do that, right? Because just like this company, this line of business app is what they do. Yes. If they didn't have that, they'd be out of business.
Right, and so that's the same reasoning why, you know, tons of my servers are still physical for that very reason.
Yeah, so I don't mind a physical server, but I remember having conversations with them, and they were like, no, we don't support that. I said, what about don't you support? Does your software recognize that it's on a Hyper-V platform and it doesn't work? I think they just didn't know how to do it. I'm like, there's nothing to do. I mean, you tell me. I'm going to load the OS. It's going to have a dedicated network card. I mean, you're not even going to notice. You wouldn't even know. If I didn't tell you, you wouldn't know that it's a Hyper-V machine. You remote into it, you wouldn't even know. So I need to actually have them check on that because that's one thing I forgot about till just now.
I have a customer that has been wanting to upgrade for almost 2 years now. They're running a database application that is running on like Visual Basic 8. Or something like that. They have two separate companies, and the vendor wants to take their two companies, put them into one database, but it's going to break something, so the customer won't do it. And they've been sitting on that, and that is my last 2008 small business server that I'm waiting to get rid of.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I still have a few 2008 SBS servers because they want to upgrade. They just don't know if they're going to be in business long enough to upgrade. But when they call with problems and like, how can we fix this? I'm like, with a new server.
New server, yep.
I don't understand what you want me to do. I mean, this server is a piece of junk. Now, there's one client that has all these servers. We've been telling them for years to upgrade. And they don't want to. Because to be honest, it's a pain, right? You've got all these specific line of business apps and they're a pain to coordinate with all these vendors to get things working. It's working right now. They don't want to change it. I understand that. But they won't let us go virtual. And they're old servers. So it's a real pain, and it's not going to be fun. And I forgot what I was going to say. I know this job is going to be terrible.
Right.
I know it's going to be terrible. And they have salesmen spread across the whole country, and they don't like change, and they have these weird little apps that they load, and I documented things about them, and they might call me once every 5 years. Oh, this thing's not working. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, you helped me last time. Okay.
Who are you?
Yeah. I'm like, do you know when I helped you? So I have to go look up the old ticket and I find it. And then I find my documentation in their client folder. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm glad I made, and thank you, past self, for making nice notes because this is ridiculous. what you have to do to get this working. And to move that to a new server, I don't even know, because this stuff's not supported by anybody. And I tell them all the time, if you need this for business, you should be running something that's supported by someone. Not me. I didn't write the software. I mean, I know enough to fiddle with it now to get it working if something breaks, but I'm not going to be the one moving this to a new server. It's going to be a nightmare. Even the Office 365 migrations, when I have to do one either this weekend or next weekend. We're doing a big one that's like, I don't know, a couple hundred people. But when things like what happened today happen, I'm like, oh my God. We're putting them on 365, and nothing's perfect, but I'm glad we didn't put them on this last week, and then right when they get on it, there's issues.
Right. Because they would have blamed you. Outlook's not working. What'd you do?
Yeah, that's when I sent them the screenshot for the admin portal. Or send them a link online saying it's a global issue. Global.
Global.
It's not me. Nothing's perfect.
People have a new sense of the word global now, because now you can say, well, it's part of the global pandemic.
In this new environment, in this new world.
The new world. The new... I can't even say it because I forgot I was in a promise to never say the double N.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. So do you, and it's common. I don't know if you get this a lot, but I've been having more and more people forward me their spam. I got a spam. Okay. Delete it. What do you want me to do?
Okay. So I don't. I probably get one a month, but it's usually, hey, I think this is legit, but I'm not sure. And a lot of times it is a legit email that comes from, but they've learned that if it's suspicious, not to open it. So those I still get, but real spam, I don't. The client that I have the most issues with, they have a junior on site, and junior, they forward it to junior and he takes care of it.
I get it every day, and they know it's spam. FYI, I got this spam. Okay. Delete it. And I tell them, you don't need to forward your spam to me. And half the time, my spam filter catches it, and I don't even get it.
Right.
But and a lot of times...
Then they email you again to say, hey, did you get that spam I forwarded to you?
I tell them, no, my spam filter caught it because it's spam. I tell them, and sometimes if I know them well, I'll say, wow, now I'm getting your spam. I mean, I don't... don't spam me with your spam. I tell them it's not necessary to forward spam. Just delete it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why they keep doing it. I don't know what they want me to do. And they say, can you block it? I said, no, I can't block it. Because if I block this one address, they're just going to change addresses. And that's I don't have time to be blacklisting email addresses. I'd be doing this. I'd have to hire a whole army of people to be blacklisting individual email addresses over and over again. Now, what I have been doing in 365 is I ask people, do you get any email, legitimate email, from anything overseas? I block every country, international spam. I add every country.
I do that with email, and I do it in the firewall. Where I'll do the GOIP blocking.
Yeah.
And I have this one law firm, every few months they have to email me and say, oh, we have an attorney in this country, can you unblock it for us so they can remote in?
And that would probably then say, oh, wait. Well, I say, give me his IP. We're going to add one IP, not a whole country.
No, I don't want to have that. I know. I don't have time for that. So I just say, how long are they going to be there? Oh, they're just today. Okay. Then at 5 o'clock, it goes off. Is that Eastern or is that their time?
It's one random time when I have time to do it after five.
Or I say, look, when I get in tomorrow, I'm blocking it. That's how much time they have.
But the email, I've been adding every country. And I make sure to tell them, if you are getting legitimate email from overseas, you're not going to get it, probably, because I'm probably out of the country. So if I've had one company tell me, no, we have a client in France. Okay, fine. I'll unblock that. And the thing is, I can't unblock just the domain name because it's a whole group of clients in emailing each other, and they can't give me a whole list. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll have to unblock the whole country because you can't give me a list. Seems to be overkill, but whatever.
Well, the best thing is when you say, can I get an IP address? What's that?
Yeah, well, I tell them just good. From their office computer, go to ipchicken.com.
Oh, but it's not the same place every day.
Oh, yeah. That's what I tell them. Well, we got to do a VPN for that then.
Yep.
So are you still using SonicWalls?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Just installed one last month at a co-working space that was supposed to open in February. They were behind in construction, and now they're hoping to open in August. TZ600.
We're still doing WatchGuard, but I think I'm going to get a machine to run Untangle on just to play with it. I don't think it'd be for any offices, but, well, I guess it could be if they were too cheap to buy a WatchGuard.
Are you going to get a machine that you can install it and configure it yourself, or are you going to get one of their pre-configured boxes?
So I'm going to get it myself.
Oh. You could have done that while you were on vacation.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be vacation. Then it'd be working. No, Amazon sells those pretty much the exact same hardware.
Right.
So I'd rather just get the hardware myself and load it. All right. I found one for like $210.
So what's making you think about getting Untangle?
Well, I had a WatchGuard at my house, but I had to use it somewhere else. And I'm back on the AT&T router, the all-in-one thing over here. And I have to reboot it almost every day because it's been really driving me crazy. So I think I might get one to play with here and put that over here. But I've just been hearing people talking about it, and some things about the WatchGuard kind of irritate me.
Say it isn't so.
It's just very rare, and mainly, I'll tell you what it is. It's when you enable certain things like application controllers, some things don't show up in the log. So if somebody says, I can't get to this site, so I go look in the traffic log to see what's blocking it, and sometimes it does not show up. And I'm like, oh, because some things don't log.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that's so annoying. So when it doesn't log, I know, okay, I'm going to go disable application control. Does it work now? Yes. Okay, now it works. Now I got to figure out what an application control or what ridiculous setting that's not logging is causing this. And that's the main issue, is that the stupid logging. But I just wanted something different because some clients don't want to pay that much for a WatchGuard. So, yep. And they just want more basic security. They don't want the whole $1,000 a year thing. They just want something cheaper, but then to feel like they have security, which I think they'll take. But that's why I want to get it. I want to get it to see what it can do and what it can't do.
All right. That's a good value. I thought about doing that, but I realized I don't have time.
Yeah. Well, I'll put it here at my house as a way to test it because I think that'll fix my issue to get off of that route as a router. And hopefully fix my issues here and have my family get off my back about having to reboot the router every day. And, of course, it has to be rebooted when I go to bed.
Did you get your free Wattbox from last year?
I did not. I have a Wattbox.
You have your Wattbox just automatically reboot. You don't have to do it yourself. Schedule it.
Well, the thing is, it still kind of works. It just doesn't work that good. So it doesn't drop completely. It's just the streaming won't start. But I'm still online.
Yeah, but just schedule a restart every 3 days or twice a week or something.
I got a white box from CompTIA a long time ago. But I did not.
And where is that? With your flute?
It's in a drawer. It is in a drawer. It's still in the box.
It's still new in the box.
New in the box from Chicago?
2015.
Yeah. It's probably not a good model anymore. Probably still works though, right?
It should.
Yeah.
Why don't you send it to me? I'll tell you.
Maybe I will put that over here. And see, that's the kind of thing that I want to do. I just haven't had time. Haven't had time. I think they're great products. I think they definitely are useful.
Yeah.
But there was some kind of hoop you had to jump through to get the free Watt box, wasn't there? It wasn't like you just say, send me a free Watt box.
Well, no, you actually had to sign up to be a partner, I think, was the catch.
Yeah.
Which Kerry Holzman had a fit with.
I know. I know. But you know what? On some – I agree with them on some parts of that, right?
Yeah.
But I also agree with them that their distribution method is through resellers. So he can still – like if I wanted to buy one, I can still buy one. I just got to go through a reseller.
Right.
Just like if I want a Ford truck, I have to go to a reseller, also known as a dealership. Right?
Yeah.
Or I can go buy one used, just like I could go on eBay and probably buy a used Watt box too.
So, yeah, and there was one part of that I thought, you know what? When they do something like that, if they're going to give something free as part of a promotional giveaway, don't make them sign up. Because the whole deal is you're doing it to entice them. And then if they get it, like it, and want to sell it, then they have to be a partner. That would probably be a way to go.
Well, the one I got in Chicago, they just gave it to me. I didn't have to sign up for anything.
Right.
They just said, here's a Watt box.
Well, so, that was back before with Snap AV. They were their own separate company. It was it was Aisle 8 was the company back then.
Yeah. You know what? I also came across in my drawer when I was my week off that I was doing errands was a open mesh access point that I never put in.
Which model?
I might have thrown it away. Oh no, here it is.
I'll throw it away.
It was still in the box. I threw the box away. Let's see what it is. I never put it in place.
Is that the OMP5?
Well, you really know model numbers. Let me get my double up glasses here. OM5P-AC.
Okay.
Which is worthless, right?
Well, I wouldn't say worthless, but it's not something that you're going to deploy today in any client environment.
But you have to have cloud tracks for this, right? Did they discontinue that?
So technically, no. So what they did when Datto purchased them, all of the old boxes. So if you had devices in the free CloudTrax platform, those still work.
I think I did have this in CloudTrax.
So if it's in CloudTrax and it's still there, you can activate it and it'll still be free. If it is not, you have to do all new activations on the Datto networking platform.
But I think I tried and it wouldn't let me in, or it wouldn't detect it, or it did something weird. And you know what? I spent about 10 minutes on it, and I gave up.
If I remember correctly, okay, so you might be correct. It might be worthless, because I don't think Datto networking supports anything other than their 40 and 60, the A40, A42, A60, A62 series.
All right, it's going in the trash right now. Oop, that was loud. Sorry. All it's right. In the trash.
It's all right.
It's going. I looked at it, I thought, I think I hooked this up a long time ago, like just to get it in the CloudTrax.
Right.
But I couldn't get in the cloud. I think I got back in the CloudTrax, but it would never find the device. I was like, whatever. And then I gave up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I've got like 5 or 6 of those that I keep as emergencies I've still got maybe 3 or 4 clients that have those. So I just keep them as backups. Everybody else is getting the new stuff.
Are you still using OpenMesh stuff, though, from Datto? Or are you using Ubiquiti or using...
So I purchased my first set of access points through Datto Networking. Only one is activated. Everybody else, I have put in Ruckus.
Ruckus, okay.
And I still have the two Ubiquiti fire access points that I got. One is still in the box, new in the box. The other one is open, sitting in my server room, but it is not working. Well, it's working, but I can't go in and reconfigure it because the Unify key or the Unikey or whatever was on an old desktop that I decommissioned, and so I have to get a new key, and I haven't done that.
So what is your, in your house, let's say, or in your office, what do you use for Wi-Fi?
I have Ruckus both at the house and here at the office.
Okay. And do you have to be a reseller to buy those?
Technically, no.
Really?
Yeah, you can go on Amazon or eBay and buy them. You can buy new. You can buy especially the Unleashed models. And you can mesh network up to, I think it's, I don't know, I think it's 20-ish or something like that. But I wouldn't do 20 on an Unleashed network.
So what model number? Let's say I want to get it from my house. What would I get? What
your size model? House, the 700, probably I think it's a 730 okay. Now.
What your size house? You're not thinking it's like 6,000 square feet, huh?
Listen, it's a rainy house. You got two stories, right?
One story.
No, what is your, like 2,700 square feet or something?
No, see, that's not right. It's only like 2,500.
Probably a 730. What type of walls do you have?
What type of walls?
Yeah, are they studs and drywall, or do you have concrete anywhere?
Studs and drywall.
Okay. So probably, well, listen, if this were a client, I'd say you probably need two throughout the house, but you might be able to get by with just one.
Yeah, so the way my house is set up, if I put it right in the middle in the living room, I think it'll cover everything.
Okay.
So
a 730.
Ruckus 730?
Yep.
Why can't I find that on Amazon? Oh, there it is. No, that's not it.
You're probably going to find a bunch of 720s is what you'll find.
I see a 720.
Which a 720 is what I have in my house.
Well, if it's good enough for Marvin and it's enough for me.
It's 2,000 total square feet with cement walls.
Are these power Ethernet?
Yes.
I searched for Ruckus 730. I don't get any results. I see a 720.
Because they're probably gone. Those things go fast.
They go fast.
Yeah, they do. But the 720s, so 720s are good. 720, I would.
Like I said, okay, so it's $500.
$529.
Well, this says $494.
Oh, you found a good one. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, $494.
List price $1,295.
Yes.
That's not accurate, right?
No, that's true. So technically, the listed reseller price for that is actually $895 is the lowest you're supposed to be able to sell it for.
So how does the Ruckus work? How do you set up and manage it?
So if you get the Unleashed model, and first of all, most of the models can be either Unleashed or they can be, I forget what the other term is, but they can either be run by a controller or Unleashed, which means Unleashed, meaning you don't have to have a controller, you don't have to have a key. You basically connect the first access point. They would prefer that you use like a tablet or something, and It comes up with a special SSID called Configure Me or something like that. You log into that, you configure it, and the first one is the master, and then any access point that you connect to the network after that seeks out another ruckus and grabs the configuration, and that's why they're called unleashed. You don't have to have any special controllers or keys or anything like that. And if the master happens to go down, the next in line steps up and becomes the master.
Interesting. Okay, so no keys. You just got to configure it that way.
Yeah.
So, but you got to buy it as unleashed.
Yes. Or if you buy the other one, you can make it unleashed. You basically have to flash the firmware, and you can go back and forth.
So why are they so expensive? They're pretty proud of their little access points.
So Ruckus basically used to be, you know, the Cadillac, Ferrari, Tesla of access points. They were basically to such a degree better that you could be literally at the edge of their signal strength with one bar and function just like you had five bars. Whereas other access points, and the ones that I had tested back then were the Arubas, the Netgears, and I actually at the time did test a original Unify back then. I don't remember the model number. But literally what I would do is I would set them up here in my office, walk out of my office down to the street with my Fluke and see which ones I could connect with and what signal strength I got, what speed I could get. And that's how I tested them. And this was probably 4 or 5 years ago when I finally decided on them, when I was fighting with this customer that, you know, they had all their devices that were dropping all the time. And that's how I came to the fact that Ruckus worked every single time.
I see. And we use a lot of Ubiquiti stuff.
And I think now if I put, so what is it? The Ubiquiti, I don't see it. What's their latest model? I think their AC Pro.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, if you're in a small to medium-sized office, I think those perform probably as good as a Ruckus, but in a dense environment is where the Ruckus shines. So if you've got, you know, a client where they've got to connect, you know, 50 to 100 devices and they pound the Wi-Fi, Ruckus still beats them. But if you're dealing with an office that, you know, 10 to 15 people get on and they're just browsing and stuff, I think all of the others. Now, the only one I haven't physically tested myself is the Cisco Meraki. But I have a client that I sub for that they have Ciscos and they are complaining about stuff all the time. And so we have somebody in the chat who said, man, I thought the Arachnus was expensive.
Yeah. So
I actually have, I think I've still got 3 of the Arachnus, the AN700s that I put, I have 2 of those at a client. And I, when I have an office that's small enough where they only need one access point, I'm going to use the Arachnus. The Arachnus are pretty good too. I put the Arachnus, the Ubiquiti, and the Arubas pretty much in that all same category. So I have the Ruckus as my number one, all of those number two. The OpenMesh / Datto is probably in that second group, but right at the bottom of that second group. So if we had to, you know, do them in a tier, that's how I would do it.
So if you want to manage the Ruckus Wi-Fi access point from your office and it has a client's office, what do you do?
So right now, for most of them, because I've got a VPN connection, I just connect through the VPN to the client, or because I am now putting in my Domotes boxes, I can manage them through the Domotes dashboard. So in my Domotes dashboard, it's kind of like SolarWinds RMM where I can see all the devices, and there is a way that you go to the device and there's a connect option that will tunnel through to the device without me having to connect to their VPN. So that's what I do.
Domotes, I know I saw a Domotes podcast in the feed. I did not listen to that one yet.
That's all right.
So I don't know what Domotes is.
All right.
Sounds like donuts. Domotes.
And so that's what I do. But they do have Ruckus Cloud now. So there is a way that you can manage all of your Ruckus devices in a cloud. But I think it gets quite expensive.
Okay, so otherwise you just connect to their network. Even if you didn't have Domotes, you would connect to their network and just log into the access point.
Right.
By an IP address or reservation, what do you do for those?
I do what I do. I just do a DHCP reservation. Okay. But it's not, you're right. So the one thing is with the data networking, you still have the app that you can see on your phone or tablet or your desktop, and you can actually manage the devices through the app. Ruckus, I don't think they're quite there with the app yet. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? Because I think my air just went off at the office, and I want to go fix that. I want to take a break. I just opened up my adult beverage. So we have two options. We can either take a quick break and come back and stay live, or we can go ahead and end the live, and you and I can chat, and we can turn that into a whole nother episode.
Up to you. It's your show.
I don't know. Who's in the chat here? Keith, Arachnus equals Oversea Pro. Yes. So the Arachnus Wi-Fi access points you can manage through their app through the Oversea.
Overseer. That sounds like a...
It's an ominous big brother type thing.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yes. Yep. And I actually...
You just opened your beverage. I already had like three of these.
I opened it like 5 minutes ago, and I'm down to the neck.
Okay.
So I had tea first. I don't know if you heard me smacking away, but I had my tea. So I have my beer.
All right. I've been drinking bourbon the whole time.
And then
You're drinking tea and a one sip of San Diego.
And I have my listen, it's been a long day for me, and I have another long day tomorrow. So I had stuff I had to get up and do early. I recorded a podcast this afternoon. And I'm here.
I did watch the first part of that one. I did watch that. Well, I did not watch part two.
Okay, well those were the part two was done yesterday. This is another one. I did a podcast with SolarWinds today. That's going to be released tomorrow. And then I have stuff tomorrow. Oh, I've got a Comcast migration, and I have a friends and family diversity discussion tomorrow night.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so quick break, because I'm going to go do something real quick, too.
Yep, quick break. So here's what we'll do. We will stay live. I will throw up – I can't do music because we're not licensed for music. But I will put up a little pick here. Actually, you know what? I do have some music. Give me just a second. It's not the real music, but it's karaoke version that I am licensed for. So let me put this up, and I'll put us back in the green room. And share my screen. And we will play music as soon as I can get all this squared away. And yes, folks, you are watching Podnuts Pro Live. And this is what happens when you don't have a producer to do things for you. Can I do that? View, full screen. There we go. Share. Oh, it stopped being full screen. Or I shared the wrong one. All right, Matt, we'll be right back.
Okay.